Speaking of that, let's pray. Father, this morning we're coming on this first Sunday in February, and man, do we sense your presence and the joy in this room and the love and the strength. We sense this sense of anticipation that if God be for us, who could stand against us? And Lord, we love you. We pray right now, whether we've heard the word, this is the first time, or this is beyond count, it would always be, Holy Spirit, I want your word for me that glorifies Jesus in every way. I want to not just be informed, I'd like to be transformed. I don't just want to be educated, I want to be different. And I ask in Jesus' name, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, would you open our eyes to see you, our hearts to receive you, that we'd learn and know what it is to taste and see the Lord is good. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen? I want to give you an ingredient in the kingdom of God, for this is going to be our study called Inside Out. This impacts every relationship, without doubt. What we're going to talk about impacts every relationship. It is the measurement of true success in life. If you begin to possess this, your success goes up in life. If you don't, it goes down. It's at the bottom of everything that's divisive if this is missing. If this is not present, it causes real division. It always builds up when it's present. It brings destruction when it's absent. So when you have it, life gets stronger. When it's not there, life gets worse. On the same token, when this is present, people around you can relax and build trust with you. But if it's not there, there's always an uneasiness and a sense of distrust. It's more important every day than our personal feelings and tastes. This is the gold currency of the kingdom. Let me say it again. This is the gold currency of God's kingdom. This is always incredibly more important than feelings or emotions. It is the foundation and bedrock of who we can be. I mean, there's a lot of flighty things going on, but there's people that God builds of substance. How many know, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? How many know, that sounds pretty solid, right? So let me give you a couple quotes on this from some well-known, and I like this, unknown people. When you see the common thread, you'll know the thing we're after today. It's been mentioned in the service, and you'll see it real clear. Number one, watch your thoughts. Your thoughts become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. That's an unknown contributor too. People do not seem to realize that their opinion of this world is also a confession of their character. Ralph Waldo Emerson said those words. Three, the measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. Thomas D. Macaulay. Four, you can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. James D. Miles said that. Fifthly, everyone tries to define this thing called character. It's not hard. Character is doing right when nobody's looking. Six, most people say that it's intellect which makes a great scientist. They are wrong. It's character. Albert Einstein. Seven, character is the result of two things, mental attitude and the way we spend our time. That's Elbert Hubbard. Number eight, weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. Let me say it again. Weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. Albert Einstein. Character is what you know you are, not what others think you have. You want that again? Character is what you know you are, not what others think you have. Two more. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Abraham Lincoln. This last quote. The function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character. That is the goal of true education. Martin Luther King Jr. How many know we could use a dose of that with an education, right? How many know we need more than bright heads, we need strong hearts? I want to come right to the text. The text we're going to be in is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read the first five verses of 2 Corinthians. In the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, it says Christ's epistle. In the Open Bible, it says the evidence of character. I mean, it's not hard to pick a text when the very subheading over it says, you know, the evidence of character. And the Holy Spirit saying, it's time to talk about character and how God builds character in people. Amen? So here it begins. So do we begin Paul's letter to the church at Corinth? This is a Spirit-filled church. It's a very loving church, and it has lots of problems in the church. How many can identify with all three of those? Amen? It's a Spirit-filled church. It's a loving church, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the church. You know, I'm never really comfortable around perfect people. How about you? But man, I can hang out with a crowd that needs grace, right? If you're looking for the perfect people of God, the First Church South of God, I don't know where that is, but it's somewhere. So do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? How's that for an opening? You are our epistle written in our hearts. How's that? That we're not talking about letters, we're talking about people. You're written on our hearts. How many in this room have people like God has written on your hearts? Amen? They're there. Known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Realize he's comparing the Ten Commandments to the work of the Spirit now. Not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh. That is of the heart. How do you like that? That is of the where? Where is God writing? Right on the heart. Writing on the heart. The Spirit, not the letter. And we have such trust through Christ toward God that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. How many of you know we're people of the Spirit, not of the letter? Why? New King James says, why? Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let me just say very quickly, you can tell when people are being led by the Spirit, moving by the Spirit, Jesus is getting stronger in their life, when they only use the Word of God to bless people and not beat people. You need that one more time. When the Word of God becomes a gift to people to bless them and not beat them up with it. Can I just see, would you be willing to be brave enough? Anybody in this room ever had somebody just really, you ever been beaten like a redheaded stepchild by somebody with the Word of God? And when they were done, you were glad. I'm glad the Lord doesn't talk that way to me. Amen? Do you realize that character is what sets us apart, that God is really on board? We, the church, we are living in a whole different climate and culture than we were 40 years ago. And it wasn't that it happened overnight. This has happened like the tide coming in, just gradual, what is called a postmodern society, that we used to be really called a Christian nation. When I was a young man and heading off to church in the morning, there were a lot of cars backing out of driveways heading to church. People called to the local church, called to a body of believers to identify, relate, give and receive. Nowadays, it's the easiest day to be in traffic. One day I was talking to Deb and I was telling her the two-sided blessing of that. I said, number one, it's really easy to get to church on Sunday mornings because there's no traffic. And she goes, yeah, it makes it kind of easy. I said, other side of the coin, I wish the roads were so clogged with believers, it was tough, be tougher to get to church. I'd be willing to leave a little earlier. And I got from the passenger seat a amen to that. I mean, she was like Pentecostal right there. But we're living in a day. Let me tell you one thing that's happened. It's really strong in the last 10 years. That our country has become more feeling than ever before. That people are much more moved by their feelings. Now, let me give you before that's all bad or all good. It's neither. Because something that we've been needing in the body of Christ is worship that touches the heart. I, like many of you, was raised with the hymns. And I still love the hymns, and I still believe the hymns are anointed. It's only that we classify them as old or outdated. Listen, if you don't want to be punched in the arm in heaven by some of the hymn writers, you might want to clean that up now. You know, when they walk up and go, hey, I wrote that, and you kept knocking that, and that's a good song. How many of you know A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is still an anointed piece of music? Amen? How many of you know you could sing all day, all hail the power of Jesus' name, and you could sing yourself into victory, let angels prostrate, fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all? Is anybody in church today? Man, you begin to sing all hail the power, put some thump behind it, you can go somewhere. And as great as the hymns were and are in teaching reverence, we needed the other side of that, which has been in the Bible the whole time, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many want the whole plate that God has put out for worship? You listen, there's times you just stand in the reverence of God and say, God, I'm just singing this song because of reverence. There's other times, man, you put your hand on your heart and go, you are the air in these lungs, and I pour out my praise. I pour out my praise to only you. How many know we have songs now, not only do you sing them, but you feel them? And we've needed that warmth. Let me say this very clearly. We have needed that warmth of God to be infused in our music. We've needed it. We have the reverence of the hymns. We needed the relationship of the choruses. In the body of Christ, I wish we'd embrace all of it and stop being picky eaters, right? Well, we're in the camp of the hymns, and we're in the camps of the choruses. And over here, we're still trying to find out what spiritual songs is all about. How many know it could be this? The whole church singing all the songs of the living God that he has for us, and that every song bears an expression of the goodness of God. Anybody there? So we've needed the warmth of that. Where it gets off track, where our community, our society is being manipulated, is that feelings dictate everything about us. Let me give it in a line. Where passion becomes more important than principle. When feeling is more important than faith. When emotions dictate behaviors rather than behaviors regulate emotions. How many know emotions can be a wonderful thing? You get a surprise gift, hey, this is great as it can be. How many know emotions can be bad when anger goes out of control? I heard the story years ago, and it still bears out, that a husband of a pretty good-sized family had a really bad day at work. He got corrected by his boss publicly. He was late on an assignment, got late to a meeting, almost had an accident on the way home from work, and he walks in, and as much as he loves the Lord, he's irritated, frustrated, and can only see the negatives of the day. So his wife does not know the day he had, comes up and greets him, how are you, honey? And he just goes, he just growled at her and snapped and said, I just don't want to talk about it. She got hurt. She then found the eldest son and scolded him why his room looked so nasty and so bad, and why does room always look like a pigsty? To which then the brother went next door and punched his sister in the arm, to which she went out then and found the dog and kicked the dog to get out of the way. The dog had a bad attitude, went over and bit the cat on the tail. And the next thing you know, the cat jumps up and eats the canary. And so they meet with the pastor after a Sunday going, our whole family has been dismantled in one day. What do we do? And he goes, sir, it started with you. And he goes, I do know that. He said, pastor, was there a quicker way I could have gotten through this? He said, yeah, you could have skipped everybody and just eaten the canary and saved all the strife. Amen? But how many know emotions that are regulated are a powerful thing? But emotions out of control are chaos. Do you realize every believer in a day in their life, could be every day of their life, their emotions and their character will be in two different places. And you can feel the tug of war that happens against our character of who we really, really are called to be. And let me just say this, over the last 40 years, because I'm part of this too, is that we, the church, many times are talking about nice Bible stories, and can you name the first king of Israel, which is Saul? Here is the number one question. It's worth writing down. Even if you don't take notes, you could take this one. The question that character has to ask is this. If you want to be honest with God and honest with yourself, that's the first biggie. You want to be honest with God and honest with you, then this question has to be number one question. What is the impact of your life on the people around you? I wish this whole room was filled with amens right now, unless you're going, oh me. What is the impact of your life on the people around you, and especially those closest to you? What's the impact of your life? Does your character lift them or bash them? Is it encouraging or discouraging? Is it critical or is it commending? And you go, well, that kind of depends on the day, which is, go back then to the question A, which is, what's more important, emotions or character? Listen, and it's not that we have perfect character. It's that the focus is that character keeps building. Do you realize when we talk about forgiveness, we make forgiveness an action. Forgiveness is birthed in character. That even though I can harbor the offense, recite the offense, remember the offense, that the call of character is that God's a forgiving God. Aren't you glad that he doesn't have bad days and go, well, I forgave you yesterday, but today. Anybody glad he forgives every day? Aren't you glad he loves every day? Aren't you glad God doesn't have headaches? Anybody glad for that? These are all the test points of character. The other question of character is this. What is your character like when you're all alone? What's your character like when you're all alone? Because what happens in secrecy impacts us largely. Let me say a third thing about character before we get right to the notes and talk about this and label it just right out where it needs to go. Loved ones, Leonard Ravenhill, years ago, a leading evangelist in our nation who really does talk about repentance. And when I say this, you could interpret it as condemning or you could interpret it as challenging. I hope you pick challenging. But he said this, maybe in our day, we are not winning the world because we look too much like the world. That's a great sharpening stone for us, the church. Let's sharpen the sword of the Spirit to say, maybe we're not winning the world because we look like the world. How many know where real trust can land is where people really have character? And let me just jump in to say real quick, the issue has never been with you and me, perfect character. It's what you're willing to do to regain character. Need that again? Issue's never been about perfect character. You heard what I said about you don't really feel at home with perfect people. I don't either. How many need grace every day? The issue is not about perfect character. It's about what you're willing to do to regain character. In other words, when you blow it. You know, I've met people, this is not made up. I've had people say to me, I don't apologize. To which I went, I'm sorry. But they said, I don't apologize. Why? Well, my dad never apologized about anything. I don't apologize either. I said, in other words, so you don't make any mistakes. To which then I could sense this irritation rising in them. And I wasn't doing it to be sarcastic. It was, listen, to live life on the planet, you better get good at apologizing. And let me ask right now, an apology is not a clarification how badly you were misunderstood. That's really worth at least one hallelujah, two amens, and a help me Jesus. You know, an apology is not a clarification of how badly I was misunderstood, right? An apology is ownership. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'm taking ownership. I was wrong. And what I did to you hurt you. Would you please forgive me? Well, that's character regained. I just feel that nudge inside. I need to go back and grab something that's missing in this message right here. When I said before, you want to know the impact of your life on the people around you, this is a real good litmus test of knowing you need character. When you ask the people closest to you, what is the impact of my life on you? And if they tell you something that really stinks, if you make them pay for it, that's a lack of character. Well, I just want to tell you, some days you're selfish. Oh, yeah? Up your nose. I'm not asking you anything ever again. Character. There's a real good character indicator right there. How many know character is real? Listen, church, we want to be known by our intentions, but we're known by our actions. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 15. He said, you shall know them by their fruit, that good trees bear good fruit. And character is the evidence of fruit, that a life that God is building. And I want to give you three things about character as we get going on this. Number one, God's character is real and present. Aren't you glad for the character of God? How many trust his faithfulness? How many trust his love for you? Loved ones, you and I can put our full weight on the character of God. Isn't it amazing that when John writes the Revelation, the Spirit reveals to him Jesus riding a white horse, and he's wearing a sash across his chest. And that sash says, faithful and true. Oh, hallelujah for faithful and true, that the King wears faithful and true. How many would say, Lord, I'd love to try that on. I know it only fits you, but I'd like to try it on, to be faithful and true. Amen? That God's character for you and me is dependable. How many know if his character is real, he could build character in us? Secondly, his presence is his character. Everything he does in and with his presence carries his seal of character. Every word he gives is eternal. And every word he gives, he is fully on board to fulfill it. Are you ready? This is why Jesus is called the Alpha. Come on, church. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. Why? Because everything in the middle will be God too. When we get his word, it's an eternal word. Not temporary, not fading, not just a Sunday, Monday word. That's a forever word. When he says, I'm going to heal your family, that's a forever word. When he says, I'm going to rebuild your life, that's a forever word. That wasn't just a Sunday word. That's a forever word. How many are glad for forever words? That he that began a good work in you, come on, church, will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Because his presence is his character. Everything in his presence is a fulfillment of character. How many know when he says, I'll do it, he'll do it. Thirdly, his presence and character, they're in us. Do you realize when Jesus came into our lives through new birth and put his Holy Spirit in our lives, you have the DNA of the character of God living in you. Let me just give you a hint. That was really good news. That's smiling news. That's happy news. When Jesus moved into your life, he brought his character with him. That's why we'll feel convicted when we're moving apart from his character. Do you realize he loves you enough to convict you? Even when you go, ouch, and he goes, I'm just needing your attention. That you can't treat people like that and be okay with me. Why? Because it's a reflection of his presence. How many could believe in this nation of ours, we could see a move of God if the church would move with character? That we wouldn't whine like other people whine, and we wouldn't complain about our jobs like everybody else complains. And wouldn't there be a difference if we were forgiving like God is forgiving? Rather than hold grudges and tell everybody how misunderstood we are, what if the character of God became the revival in the church? That when people go, I love God, there's real evidence that it's not just a creed, it's a call of God on my life, that how I treat people reflects how he treats me. Do you realize that church could become a safe place for people instead of the hall of judgmentalism if there was character in the house of God? That if somebody confided a weakness, it didn't become that week's gossip tree? Well, now it's really quiet in here. What would happen if the people of God would learn confidentiality? What if the people of God would say, you share something with me, it'll stay right here. And I want to tell you, when I tell you I'll pray, that's not Christianese, that's real. That we'll really pray. One of the things I just esteem and love of all of you is that you really do pray. When you say you'll pray, you pray. You're welcome. Aren't you glad that we just don't talk about prayer because it's the right thing to do? Prayer is the right relationship to live. What would happen if when people came into the house of God, they felt safe? That rather than be exposed, they could be authentic. Why? Because there's the kind of character that supports authenticity for care. That what you share is kept in a holy place. It's not going to become the next museum piece. What would happen in the body of Christ if that became the issue? You know how it starts? You and me. The character of God. The willingness to say, God, I want to move with your character. And when I'm moving apart from it, I'd like to begin to learn how you get my attention to reel me back in. You know the nudges you get? The times he replays conversations? Is that really what you want to say? No, that's not what I meant to say. And over the next couple weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. The reality of how God builds character. Because I don't want to put it out there as a have to. This needs to be a want to. This needs to be a called to the life of character in the living church. I said before, I'm all for knowing the order of the kings to Israel. How many would rather be known for your character than your knowledge? Let me ask it again. How many would rather be known for your character than your knowledge? Yes. Man, how many people are still carrying 50-pound King James Bibles and are going through churches like a chainsaw? I think I just preached myself half happy and half convicted. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is about people that are different and have been changed by the glory of God. We're here next Sunday the 9th. I want to talk to you about the first major, major, major step of character. This one sets the dominoes in character. You get this one, you're off to a great start. Let me give you the 16th. The 16th, I'm going to do a message on the life teaching that Jesus gave. In my life, when I heard this word and the Lord began to shape it and shape it and shape it and still is, it made all the difference. The life teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples over and over again that he gives to you and me. And this is one of those teachings that when you get it locked into place, you begin to learn the habits and the ways of thinking that build character. It takes a shift in our thinking, church, to go from convenience to character. That's a very strategic, accurate, anointed move of the Spirit in our life when we move from convenience to character. But the 9th is going to be the first major step towards character, and then the 16th is going to be the life teaching Jesus gave. And, are you ready? Is still giving. Is still giving. I want to say this in conclusion that's very important. And hope giving. You could have been raised in a family where character was not the priority. It could be whoever's in charge, or whatever goes, or whatever's happening becomes the rule of the day. You can have been raised in a family where character was not the priority. It can be different for you. You can come from the toughest environment and come to the Lord who makes all things new again, and you can learn the character of God as a relationship. The character in your life, in your family, could be dramatically different starting right now by the stepping stones that Jesus gave us by his Spirit and the Word. These are traceable, walkable. They can become invested in you. And you go, my family was a crazy family. Well, then we all have something in common. You can learn. You can learn character. Why? Because the character shaper is already in you. The character shaper, come on, church, he's already in you. He's in there. The shaper is right living in your heart and spirit today. And how many know? He knows how to shape us, how to be patient, how to work deeply. Let me give you the last two words, the last two verses of this. Here it is. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Isn't that great, liberty? Know what it means? The freedom to grow beyond anything you've dreamed of. When a word, everywhere you look in every commentary, you say, what's that verse mean in verse 17? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. Every one of them says, the freedom to grow, and the freedom to grow literally unlimited in the goodness of God. Woo! Count me in. Here it is, verse 18. Would you read it with me aloud since you're going to have this in your hearts and lives? Here we go. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, say it loud, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're not just informed, we're transformed.